Okay, well, happy Mother's Day. Now, we have a little something for all the moms, all the ladies of the church. It's in a nice basket in the entranceway. Please grab one because I've been told I'm not allowed to have one. So I want them gone. I don't like toys in my church that I'm not allowed to play with. No, all the moms, make sure you pick one up. They're really cool. I believe it's a diary with a pen as part of that. Really cool looking, and so excited about that. But we want all the moms, all the ladies of the church to know that we acknowledge them and we appreciate all the things that they do on a daily basis in being leaders in their families and leaders here at the church. It's just exciting to see everything that's going on. So I'm going to ask for all the kids and all the dads, let's give our moms a round of applause. That's pretty pathetic. You want to really give it a whirl this time? And you know, I really like my mom and then my wife, so I'm going to kind of put this down so we can clap. Well, that was better, but y'all better be taking your wives and your moms out to eat today. Okay, a couple of things that are going on. The new sound system has been ordered, and it is to arrive, and they're supposed to start installation on May the 25th. I believe that's a Monday. And so excited about that, looking forward to it all working wonderfully. I'm excited about that. Now, you'll see in your bulletin that we are raising the money in addition to tithe to be able to offset the cost for that. Those that just reached for your wallet, slowly, slowly put your hand someplace else, because we have all the money that's needed already donated for the sound system. Done. Yeah. Woohoo! Excitement. Looking forward to getting that taken care of. And I see in my notes it says May 23rd. So apparently the May 23rd is the Monday when they'll be here to start that. Also, we want to reiterate, we have a need on June the 4th. Our conference that we belong to as part of our denomination that takes in all of Ohio and Michigan, once a year they have a session. It's a business session the first Saturday in June, and that's June the 4th. It is in Salina at the Mount Tabor Church of God is where that's going to be. If you are a member of this congregation, we have the privilege to be able to send three individuals to represent us at that business session to vote for leaders within our conference. And also, there's some training and some different things that are part of that gathering. If you're interested in going, please see me or John Nixon, and we'll kind of fill in the details for that. It starts at like 9 o'clock in the morning and goes to about 3 in the afternoon. Just a lot of things. You get to hear what's happening in our region and some of the vision as we're going forward, the things that are happening. And so love to have you come with on that, and get in touch with either John or myself. We also are having a work day at Camp Odioquia this Saturday. I asked Monty Harlan, who is our director for Camp Odioquia, I said, what are we going to do? And I could see him smiling right through the text, because he likes to tell me what to do. But he said, if you have them bring chainsaws to cut firewood, cordless drill drivers, they want to build a platform on the ground for the climbing wall. There will be weed whacking and painting and staining. And so whatever it is that you like to do, we're going to make it happen. How about this? We can meet here at the church at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we'll carpool down to the camp. We'll be working from a little bit before 9 till about 1 o'clock, and then we'll come back. And so if you're interested in being part of that, let me know so that we get enough rides to be able to get down and back. And this is not necessarily a guy thing, although, yeah, that's part of the element. But it's also a wife thing, and it's also a kid thing. And there'll be plenty for everybody to do, as it's kind of the last hurrah to get the camp ready, because Pioneer Week starts June 3rd, I believe. So a lot of great things happening, and getting some last minute details done for the camp. So if you're interested in that, that's this Saturday at 8 a.m. We'll meet here at the church. And then the following Saturday, we're going to have a party here at the church. It's called a mulch party. We will be receiving about 21 yards of mulch, and they told us that they would put it all in the parking lot for us. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not really what we want to have mulched. So we need some folks willing to take the mulch from the parking lot to putting it on the bank and around the building and around the sign and all that fun stuff. And so we're going to have a work day to make that happen. If everybody shows up, we'll be done. You know, we're going to start at 9 and we'll be done probably about 20 after. If some of you don't show up, you're going to make everybody else work a little longer. So just to let you know, hopefully we'll be able to get all the mulch spread in the morning and be done by noon. So put that on your calendar. Make sure you know that's going to happen, and we'll have the mulch here for that. And then I have one more announcement. Lori wanted to make an announcement. Oh, you need to use the mic, because the people online can't hear you.
Oh boy, I wasn't expecting this. Okay, VBS is coming up. Our kids love this week. It's monumental this year. It's going to be really fun. My child just ate the flyer. It's so good. they were in the bulletin last week, but there's more on the Welcome Center. And after this service, I'm going to be in the office. If you're interested in volunteering, we have to have volunteers to make this week awesome, so we really appreciate it if you feel called to help us run this awesome program this year. So see me in the office afterwards, and we appreciate it. It's the first week of June, by the way.
Right after conference. Okay, prayer requests. I have two in addition to those, or three, in addition to those on your prayer sheet in your bulletin this morning. We're asked, yes, it's written on my hand, we're asked to remember the family and friends of Jenny Adams. She passed away this past week. Very good friend of Jeannie Helbert's. And so keep that family in your prayers. Also, the McCartney family, Dave's step-nephew, Michael Scott King, also passed away this past week. So keep those families in your prayers for sure. And then we want to keep Del Hackett in our prayers. Del's been just having some trouble probably for the last couple of years. And a long story short is Del has a final stage cancer. He is in hospice care at his home. And this is going very quickly. He was walking around on Wednesday, and when I stopped to see him yesterday, he really wasn't able to get out of bed. And so keep Del and Shirley and the whole family in your prayers, but especially Del. Any other announcements or prayer requests? Linda in the back. okay, you have a nephew that passed away. Linda, why don't you come on down? For some reason, my ears are plugged up today. Here, I'll just let you.
My grandson, Spencer, his other grandpa, Robert Suchorzewski, passed away this past week. My Aunt Joanne Millard from Michigan passed away Friday. And I just want prayers for her, my cousins and their families.
Thanks, Linda. Yeah. Okay. A friend of Ronnie Carter's, Todd Snoddy. Okay. Passed away this past week, so please keep that family in your prayers. You know, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you are a great and gracious God, a God that meets us where we are, and Lord, a God that continues to spur us on, to woo us, to draw us closer in our relationship with you. And Lord, we give you thanks for all that you're doing, but our hearts are heavy. We think of one request after another of families who have lost loved ones that, Lord, are going through the pain of grief. And we ask that the Comforter would come and that you would sustain these families, that you would stand beside them and hold them in the hollow of your hand, that your grace would be imparted and your presence and your love might be known. And Lord, just touch and assist them as they grieve this time of separation. Lord, we think of Dell, and Lord, we just ask that your hand would be upon him. Lord, that he would know of you and your presence, that Lord, you would touch his body and heal. And Lord, we want what you want. And if this is the end for Dell, if you're calling him home, help us to understand that. And if not, Lord, we ask for your touch and healing and allow him to bounce back. Man has done what man can do, and it's in your hands, Lord. So we trust you, and we just ask you to be there and be with Shirley and the family. And Lord, just hold them up and give them your strength and meet the needs of their hearts. Lord, just watch over them. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we've gathered together in this place to lift your name. Lord, we come together to kind of as iron sharpens iron, as well as, Lord, to become, to be in your presence, to experience your love, to be lifted up out of the miry clay and set upon the solid rock. Lord, you've come to set your people free. You've come to reunite us with you. And Lord, may the praises of our lips and the joy within our hearts bring you grace, and may you know of our love for you, and just assist us to draw closer and closer in our relationship with you. Lord, just watch over us this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to take a couple of minutes, going to invite you to stand and shake hands with those around you. If you don't like to shake hands, bump fists, bump elbows, or just smile. Let's say hi to one another.
Good morning. Please join us in the singing of our opening songs. Number 110, Hallelujah, Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise
praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
Now number 491, Jesus, I Come.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy wealth. Out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of her sorrows, into thy balm, out of thy storms, and into thy calm. Out of distress, to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above. Upward for I on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into the joy and light of thy home, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold. Ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee.
You may be seated.
I'm just going to use yours. Our scripture for this morning is taken from two places. We're going to be reading three verses from Nehemiah chapter 9 and then over in James in the New Testament, the 16th verse. So we'll start in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. Now, those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of that day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. Then over to James chapter 5, verse 16. Ah, yes. I thought I lost my Bible. James chapter 5, 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Oh, you want me to read the rest of it too? This is why you never let your wife in the sound booth. God bless her. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Okay, we're good. All right. Well, the Lord bless the reading of that part of his word as well. And at this time, if the kids want to come on down front this morning, I have a little something for them. And the pastor forgot to move the bench over, didn't he? Sorry. All right. Well, cool. Now, I'm going to ask you something that has nothing to do with this. Okay, we're going to forget about that for a second. Now, what is it like outside right now? It's warm. It's sunny. The dandelions are growing with fervor in my yard. Could be a little muddy. A little soccer action later today is going to be interesting. Yeah, it's gorgeous outside. It's the stuff we've been waiting all winter. And there's so many things that we can do outside right now. We can play soccer. We can swing on our swings. We can play baseball. We can do a lot of things. But today, do you know what this is? Softball. It's a softball. I'll tell you a story. A lot of times when we think of softball, my mind goes to playing church softball. But this isn't a church softball story. Actually, it was in a tournament, and it was girls softball. And they were playing, and these two teams, it was actually college level. They were playing rival against rival to start out the tournament. Do you know what a rival is?
No.
Can you tell me what a rival is? Yeah, a rival is the team that you love to beat the most. It's one of those things, beating them is the coolest. They're usually in close proximity to your school or your area. It's the ones, this is the one we want to win. And this was that game. And it went back and forth, one inning after another. One team would score a run, and then the other team would score a run, and back and forth. It was the ninth inning, and the team that was up first in the ninth inning scored two runs, tied the score. The first young lady that was up to bat, she struck out. The second young lady that was up to bat hit one, and it was going in the sky. It was going, caught right at the fence. Ah, everybody was, oh, that's just horrible. And so the next person got up to bat, and they had two strikes on them, no balls. The next pitch came in, and that young lady swung with everything that she had,
and the bat cracked, the ball took off, and it was going, going, gone. Yeah, but she was a spectator on the outside of the fence. It's a home run. Now, one of the things you have to remember, in order for a home run to count, you have to run around the bases. You have to tag all the bases. So she starts trotting to first base, and when she hit first base, she put her foot on there, and you know, you kind of use it to pivot. And so she hit first base, made the pivot to run to second, and when she did that, there was a whole bunch of mud on the ground because it was a little slippy that day, and the base moved, and her plant didn't get deep enough. And the next thing you know, she was in a pile over between first and second base, and she twisted her ankle really bad. And she went to get up because if you don't make it the whole way around the bases, it don't count for a home run. And she got up and she went to step on it and she fell right back down. She was out for the count. Well, the rules say that no one from her team can help her. The coach can't go out. You can't put a substitute base runner in. She had won the game. Beat the rivals. Couldn't walk. The coach was praying, Lord, make her crawl from base to base. Some of her team were shouting, don't worry about it. You know, they make braces for that. You know, they just on and on it went. But she just couldn't go. And it hurt really, really bad. And there were tears coming down her face. She had won the game, but she couldn't get around the bases. Time slowly began to walk away, and the umpire was going to have to do something. If they called her out because she couldn't make it around, the game would be over, and it would have been tied. And you just do not want to tie with your rival. So what are you going to do? The first baseman looked at the second baseman and went. And the second baseman went. And the first baseman went. And the second baseman went. And back and forth it went. And finally the first baseman went. So the first baseman and the second baseman walked over to the young lady who was laying there in the dirt. And they extended their hand and they helped her up. And she put one arm around the first baseman and the other arm around the second baseman. And they began to walk her around the field because there's no rule that says the opposing team can't help you around the bases. And she tabbed second base and they helped her and she tabbed third base. And she was headed towards home. And the first baseman and the second baseman knew if this girl tabbed home, they would lose the game and their rival team would beat them. And the first baseman looked over at the second baseman one last time, and the second baseman said, but they kept walking, and she walked right across, tabbed home plate, and won the game. You see, in the world in which we live, sometimes we have to do the right thing because it's the right thing. Jesus came to earth because he loves us. And he knew that he was going to have to give his life on a cross and he was going to die and he was going to be resurrected from the grave. He knew that, but he still had to go to the cross. And he even prayed, Lord, if there's another way to make this all work, let's do that. But God said, no, you've got to go down this path. And so Jesus went ahead and did the right thing and gave his life on the cross. But we need to remember that we're called on to do the right thing, to let God love us and to share that love with those that we meet. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, great story. Lord, true story. And then help us to remember that we need to do the right thing, even when it's hard. But Lord, that you love us and you did the right thing, and that was pretty hard too. So come and be part of our hearts and our lives. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and go. I didn't know whether you were going to throw it at me or not. As we continue in our worship this morning, if our ushers would come forward, we'll have our offering. Well, let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the things that you're doing in our midst. Lord, we trust you even when trusting you is hard. And so, Lord, come and walk with us each and every day. Lord, today as we give our tithes, our offerings to you, it's for the furthering of your kingdom. It's Lord, because you've done so much for us, and we just want to say thank you. And Lord, we don't buy our salvation, but Lord, we respond to what you've done for us. And Lord, just walk with us each and every day. Help us to join together with one another to accomplish all that you set before us, that the world would know the difference that you've made in our hearts. Watch over us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leads your soul to bleed. Says love, it is a Savior who died to set men free, and his name above all others, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. God says love, it is a reason Jesus gave to you and me to reach out unto the hurting and show them mercy from the King. Just remember that in the heavens, far above your stormy seas, stands a scene that with the sun's love in your heart becomes the rose.
I mean, if you're going to make noise, you might as well go for it. I'm going to talk about something this morning that I think is very confusing when it comes to the world in which we live in. Yeah, it's confession. It's written right up there in bold letters. But when we think of confession, maybe I watch too many cop shows. But as soon as I hear confession, I get this concept of a detective, you know, in a room about ready to throw somebody up against the wall. They never do it. Okay, maybe sometimes. But it's like twisting things and trying to get people to admit to the truth, so to speak. That's really not what we're talking about today. We're talking about confession in a completely different line. Now, I want to clear up another thing about confession. There's two types of confession in Scripture. Now, this is Arnold Kaufman's line that he draws in the sand, okay? But it really seems to me there's two different things that are going on. One is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we confess to him that we've done lousy things and we've been offensive to God in our sin, and we're asking him to forgive us. So we confess that and he forgives us. That's one. I'm really not talking about that today. I'm talking about the next step as Christians. It seems to me there is another confession that is woven through Scripture where we're just acknowledging that we have not made it to perfection yet. You know, and in doing so, these are the things that clear up our relationship with God. This isn't confession so that God will forgive us. This is confession as a Christian that our walk with God would get stronger. Okay? So, we're going to walk down this road. I think it'll become clear, and we'll get some of the cobwebs knocked around. If at the end of the service you're like, "Pastor Arnie, that was incredibly confusing," just find me and we'll work it through, okay? But this is important that we understand just what we're talking about today. And this is confession as a Christian. So I have two things that confession as a Christian really does and works with us. The first of those is supposed to come up on the screen. There we go. The first of those is that confession leads to healing. Now, confession, it really means it's a formal statement admitting that one is guilty of a crime. Okay, that sounds good. It's also an admission or an acknowledgement that one has done something one is ashamed of or embarrassed about. Okay, in a religious sense, confession is the admission of sins or wrongdoing with a motive to be absolved or forgiven. Okay, so we talked about that, and the difference is what we're talking about today. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We were forgiven. God says you were forgiven once for all sin. So that means when you accept God's forgiveness and become a Christian, he has forgiven you for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what lies in your future. It's all of that forgiveness at once. Boom. You are forgiven. You are put in a right standing before God. This is talking about, since that happened, you know, here's how we're able to strengthen the relationship that we have. We are forgiven. It's an ongoing forgiveness that has a beginning, but no end. So when that starts, our responsibility is to walk with the God that loves us. So what we're finding and what we see in Scripture is that when we confess to God, we clear the air. You see, God already knows what we did. God's got it going on. He's already aware. So we're not confessing so God can understand what it's like to live in my shoes. He's already there. We confess because there's something in our hearts that says, if I don't say it to God, he doesn't know that it happened, even though we know that that's the truth. And so we begin to try and hide things from a God that loves us. And when we hide those things, when we don't confess those areas or difficulties or struggles in our life, it's like those that wear glasses, okay, probably sunglasses would work the same, although I'm not sure. But those of us that wear glasses, when it rains outside, it's just horrible. And you get little specks, and they run down your face, and you just think, why? Why bother? And sometimes you just take them off, put them in your pocket, because you're better off walking around half blind than seeing everything distorted. And then a little bit of time passes and it quits raining and you're like, boy, it'd be great to see. So you take your glasses out and you put them on and it looks like somebody spit on them. I mean, they're just a mess. You see, and that's what sin does in our relationship with God. It distorts things and we can't see clearly. We can't hear God like we need to hear them because we're hiding this little spot. We're hiding things in our relationship with God, and because of that, we can't hear him. He can't talk to us really like he wants to, and things get distorted. Nehemiah chapter 9, those verses that we read, I love it because they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood in their places. They read from the book of the law. I mean, because not everybody had a scroll. I mean, do you ever try to travel with a scroll? It just didn't work. So they would read it, and they said, a quarter of the day reading the law. Now, the law is the Old Testament, and a quarter of the day would be the reading of what God expects of his people. And so it'd be a quarter of the day getting beat up because we know we're coming short. Then you got a quarter of the day where you would just sing and give praise to God and confess. This is what's going on. You see, and then what happens is that relationship with God is brought back into clarity. It's kind of like those cute little things they rub on both sides of your glasses, and instantly all of the boogers and the smears and the slime is taken off and you can see clearly. And when we have our relationship with God and we confess, it just clears everything up. I don't know about you, but for me and a lot of people, it seems like that I've talked with and shared with, that when we confess, when we actually get it out, when we say it, when we acknowledge that there's things in our lives and we've come up short and we've put them out there, right, for God to see, it's like a weight's been lifted. Finally, the truth is out. I don't have to work so hard to hide this anymore. It's just there. And it just gives us a lightness. It gives us there is a healing power that's given when we put those things out there and say, you know what, God, take care of that. I'm not sure exactly what all's going on, but take care of it. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. God is telling us we acknowledge what he's done. We stand before him. He's going to take care of us. Now, does that mean that everything's going to be milk and honey and hunky-dory and wonderful? Wouldn't that be cool? I just don't think that we as human beings are able to manipulate God that way. I don't think he likes it. I think what he's saying is that if we do our part, he'll do his part. And the forgiveness is there. And when we join with him, you know, everything just gets better. It's Mom's Day. And I fell in love with a young lady a number of years ago who became a mom. and our relationship has gotten stronger and stronger. But you want to know what she hates? She hates when her husband lies. Hates. Oh, you don't understand. She doesn't like it at all. Hates when that happens. And I've learned that, you know what? It's just way better if I tell her the truth. Yes, I bought that. Yes, I spent that money. Yes, that's what I did. Lately, it's been cookies and crumbs. They're evil in the sight of the Lord. But it's one of those things, when we confess that, it eliminates the problem. We can deal with it, and then it's done. I like it when it's done. Not so fond of dealing with it, but I know that I have to walk through that to get to done, and I like done. And I know, as we've trained our boys as they've grown up, I've said, look, tell the truth. The bolder and the faster that you do it, the better that it is. And they're like, really? I said, yeah. And then they told me things they did. Wanted to strangle them. But I also appreciated them telling me. They told me, we were able to take care of it, and it was done. Have I said I like done? And I know in the world in which we live, and there's been times when somebody has asked me, did you do this? And if I have, I try really hard to say, yes. Now, fortunately for me, it's usually, you know, down to coffee pots and the like. But to just tell the truth, because when we tell the truth, when we acknowledge, when we confess, then we can put things back together. And when we don't do that, it doesn't go together. Forgiveness is that healing that allows us to be reunited with the God that truly loves us. James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Just talk real quickly about the last two words. It says it's powerful and it's effective. Our prayers get better when we've cleared the air, and we become more powerful in that the things that we pray for, our direct line with God is established, and it grows and it becomes effective. We're able to pray in such a way that the results occur. Now, you know people that, you know, if anybody prays, I want so-and-so to pray, because when they pray, God listens. God listens to everybody. But the prayer of a righteous individual is powerful and effective. It's not that God loves them more. It's just they've done the work. They've joined together. And that healing comes. And they're closer to the God that truly loves them. And the second thing I want to talk about with regard to confession this morning is that confession is liberating. It's not just healing, it's liberating. It doesn't just free you from the past and the sin and the wrongdoing, and those things are part of it, that healing process of being united or reunited with the God that loves us, all of that, but it's liberating. It is liberating. I like to be liberated. I like to be free. I like to just be turned loose. Just turn me loose. Let me have at it. I dare you. I mean, it's just one of those. We all want that. And that's exactly what happens. If you look at 1 John verses 7 and 8, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, And we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all righteousness. This is telling us that there's two dynamics. There's confession for salvation, and then there's confession as we live our lives. And that confession as we live our lives keeps our relationship with the God that loves us in place and allows us to be free. I was asked here not long ago, I said, Pastor Arne, do you really use your notes? And I said, yeah, I actually do. And they're like, really? And I said, okay, not always. But they're there. They're there because they serve a purpose. And the neat thing about it is that regardless of whether I look at them or not really isn't what's important. It's whether or not what I'm saying lines up with what God is telling me, what God is saying in his word. Does it stand upon that? Does it give us a solid ground to stand upon? Does it move us forward in our relationship with God that we can do what he's asking us to do? Because when that happens, when my will is bent to God's will, then that confession continues on an ongoing basis that I'm not hiding things from God. I'm admitting them, and then God uses them to spur me on to be able to do what he's asking me to do. Then I have the freedom. I am liberated to do what he's asking me to do and turn me loose. What a fun thing. You're not getting it. Let me try this again. God, no, and that's not a negative. It's just so cool. God makes me free. And so in freedom, then I don't have fetters. I don't have connections holding me back. I don't have the things that are holding me down because I don't have to worry about if somebody looks in my closet and sees my skeletons. Because I can say things like, Yeah, there they are. Well, I talked with God, and he hated them probably more than you do. So if we need to work with this, let's just work with this and work it out. I don't have to be fearful of those skeletons because God's already forgiven me for them. We've taken care of business. And so that's taken care of. Let's live freely. Let's live to be able to be unfettered, because then I can just take off and go and do what God is asking me to go and do. You see, we talked a number of weeks ago about there's a certain knowledge, and we need to have Scripture in our head. And that Scripture then lays the foundation that we can be with God. And this is that be with God part. This is that relationship building in my life with the God that loves me, and confession is clearing the air so that I can hear what God has to say to me. And when he says, move this way, move that way, talk to this person, it's time to be quiet, it's time to move forward, I'll be able to hear when God tells me those things and just respond. And I'm just free to do so. You know, and it's just a wonderful place to live because I don't have to worry about, you know, what anybody thinks. I just have to be right with God. When that relationship is where it's be, I can just soar. Go for it. And you know, sometimes that means you go for it and you fail. Fail to the best of your abilities. Fail in such a way that people notice. Fail big that the world would know that you tried. Because sometimes the only way that hearts and lives are going to be touched is if you fail. I don't want them to miss it. And that's fine. And sometimes it's success. Well, let's succeed the best that we can. Whatever that means. And because we're free, because we've confessed with God and we've taken care of business, that we can be who God has created us to be. Romans 10:18. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. Confession keeps our relationship with God where it needs to be, that we can do what he's asking us. Many years ago, was standing before a congregation where I grew up at Lilyville Church of God, and I generally sat about halfway back because then I could sit in somebody's pew, and that was always fun. And on this particular Sunday morning, that's exactly what I did, and I was just having fun watching how they were going to deal with that. Sometimes they'd make me move over. I wasn't a jerk about it, but a little bit. And the Lord came to me and said, I want you to tell the congregation something. And I'm like, the pastor's up front. That's his job, not mine. And God said, I'm not sure about that. He said, I think I want you to tell them. And I'm like, why would they even believe me? And God and I had a conversation that actually took just a few seconds, but it seemed like it was a month. And I walked up front, and I told the pastor, I said, this is weird, but God wants me to say something to the congregation. I said, I really don't want to, so you can tell me to go sit down and it'll be all right. But God said, I'm supposed to ask. I don't know what was wrong with that pastor, but he said, okay. Only because of confession, knowing that I was where I needed to be with the God that loved me, was I able to step out and do that. And I remember when the pastor said, you know, a couple minutes later in the service, he said, Arnie wants to come up here and share something with the congregation. And he says it comes straight from God, so hold him to it. I said, oh, thanks. Stepped up in front of the congregation, and I'd love to tell you what I said, but I don't remember. Not because it wasn't important, but it was one of those things where God just kind of took over and said, you've done your part, Arnie. This is my turn. And I remember when I sat down and I was so glad that it was over. And then I remember the pastor waking me up, smiling, and saying, you can go home now. Totally wiped me out. To this day, I don't know what I said, and it really isn't important. You see, when we confess and we're linked with the God that loves us, then the gloves come off, the wheels always stay on, God takes control, and all I'm doing is I'm just along for the ride. You know, that's where we want to be. Now, I'm not saying God's going to do that to you. This isn't a test case. This is just what he did to me one time in one situation. But I do want you to know that when we confess, when we're in that spot where we're right with God, he can do things far beyond your wildest imagination. My question this morning is, if God had something really unique and cool that he wanted to talk to you about, would you be able to hear him? Would your glasses be clean? Would your ears be open? Are there things that you haven't confessed to God? He already knows. But sometimes we need to talk to him and tell him specifically so that our ears and our eyes can be opened. And then we can hear and follow the God that loves us. Are we willing to confess? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, It just seems, Lord, that I know and I understand forgiveness, and that we confess that we're sinners, and God, you give us forgiveness, and that's just so cool. That's so cool. But that's when the relationship starts, and it's not where it ends. And in order to not be at the start and to be closer to the end, we have to talk with you and share with you and be able to hear and see you. And to make that happen, we got to unclog the relationship. And that comes from confession. And Lord, I just ask that you'd speak to all of our hearts. That if there's stuff that needs to be taken care of, that you'd give us the courage to do so. And maybe that's with our spouses and it's Mom's Day and all of that, but Lord, we just ask that you'd give us the courage to do that. Sometimes it needs to be up front. There's something about coming to an altar before God's people as we gather together, and if that's the case, I just assault the altar. Sometimes we need help. We need someone to kind of coach us through that, and if that's the case, just raise your hand when you get down here, we'll come. But Lord, help us to confess. Help us to get the roadblocks out of the way, that we can hear you, and Lord, you can guide and direct us the way you want us to be in the things that you want us to do. We thank you for the knowledge. Help us to be with you, that when you ask us to move, that we're able to do just that. Be with us this day. Amen.
Before we sing our last song, I'd like to share a couple things. Our ending song is Pass Me Not, number 489. It's not normally a Mother's Day type song. But in retrospect, I think about moms. They have approximately 9 months of a special bond with their child. And in that time, I'm sure there's some fears. There's all kinds of emotions, uncertainties. Am I going to be able to be a good mom? Do I have the tools necessary to raise that child in a godly way? What kind of a witness am I going to be? In speaking to women all kinds over the years, there seems to be a common denominator, and that was prayer and confession. In their humanness, moms realize, you know, it's going to only be with you, Jesus Christ, that I'm going to be able to be a mom. And so this song is for you, moms. Would you please stand and join us? Pass Me Not.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not
not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
As we go from this place, may God's hand continue to be upon us, to lift us up, to let us know that we truly have a relationship with him, that we can truly have the courage then to tell him, to confess to him, to clear the air, that we might truly be bonded together, both now and forevermore. Amen.